worship was such a blessing. It's like being in the Holy of Holies. That's what it was like. And the anointing for impartation is here. It was like tingling all through the service. I don't know if other people are feeling this, but I think at the end, David, that we ought to, you know, corporately in some way just loose what God gives us, each one. Spend a few minutes doing that. Okay. Father, in the name of your Son, bless your living word to our hearts. And may it give us a better understanding of you so that we may come to know you as you really are. We want communion with you, to eat of your flesh and drink of your blood, that we may have eternal life with you now and forever. Jesus came to us as a living word of God in the flesh in the form of a man, so that God could show the world how we ought to walk with him. You'll often hear me quote one of my favorite passages in the Bible, because this passage is God's constant reminder to me about who I serve. I serve a living God, and I'm here today because God's living word created me and everything around me, the earth and everything in it. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light that God gives has come to the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came that to which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. If you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and you've been born of the Holy Spirit, you have become aware that you were with God in the beginning. And understand that you have not been born of human decision, but you are born of God. And now you have every right to live as children of God who will inherit the kingdom. When God speaks to you his word and reveals his nature to you through the word, please give it away. Now you are the light to the world. And even though the majority of people in the world will hate you because they have chosen to live in darkness rather than accept the light in you will not be overcome by the darkness that is in the world through sin. The Lord has reminded me of a few promises, and because he said that whatever he gives me, I need to give it away, I want to share these promises because they are for you too, anyone who believes. He told me this would be a year of fulfillment of promises. I believe as soon as I spoke that, God actually fulfilled that word. I can see some of this has already been fulfilled in my life and has already happened. But what I don't see with my natural eyes does not mean that the promise was not fulfilled. When God makes a promise, it's done. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Evidence is what courts of law use to prove a fact. God speaks something to you and you believe it. The evidence of that exists, even if you can't see it yet. The moment the Lord speaks a word, something from nothing is created. God always has a purpose for everything. Nothing ever goes to waste. Not one word ever goes back to God unfulfilled. Believe it and you've received it. Everything can change in the blink of an eye. And what you may not see right now, God is not limited by your timetable. Here is another promise. I just love it when God brings confirmation, David. The services are going to change. That's a promise. And they're going to give way to Joel because the Lord has already spoken this. Joel 2:28. I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So let's exercise our faith and come prepared to prophesy. Amen. This word is fulfilled and will be fulfilled all the way into the kingdom. It's already in the spirit realm, and now our faith is just bringing it into existence. You have been blessed with a pastor who moves in the prophetic realm. He doesn't want people coming to church for a church service. When we enter God's sanctuary, we are already prepared in our spirit ahead of time to give back to God what he has already given us. If we do this and not hold on to the blessings for ourselves, there's going to be a great outpouring of God's spirit on us. This is the principle also behind tithing. Give back to God what is rightfully his anyway, and he will pour out his blessings on you. One last exhortation about the services, and then I'm going to get more into what the word is. Okay. If you're not sure what to do with the gifts that God has given you or how to move in the service with what God is showing you, please go to the leadership. Seek them out. The leadership is not here to tell anyone what to do. They're just given to the church to help us grow. Think of them as an apostolic and prophetic family. The grandparents, grandmas, grandpas. David, I'm sorry, that's us. Who would have thought, right? Fathers, mothers, big brothers and sisters. They're just here for a season because there are no gift ministries in the kingdom. Okay? Because in the kingdom, there's no need for anyone to teach us. We have come to the knowledge of the Son of God. This is in Ephesians 4:11, in case no one believes me. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith, in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Okay, now for the word that God gave me. This came about a month ago, and I have to tell you, it really sobered me up, and not because I'm drinking. It's the reality. The reality of this word has just really hit me, and it just continues. The title of this word, I think, is God is not popular, or popularity, who needs it? I'm not quite sure, but it's going to be one of those. We have Jesus, our blessed Lord and Savior, and he's an awesome Son of God. Jesus had a relationship with our Father in heaven, and that brought him through every trial and tribulation, and it was the only relationship that he could really rely on. He served mankind. Jesus loved all people, all kinds of people, but he didn't trust the heart of man because he knew that man was self-serving. He never denied people the help they wanted and needed, but he knew that many were only following him for what they could get and not for what they could give. The true sons of God are doing just what Jesus did and picking up their cross on a daily basis and denying human fulfillment in order to have a life with God that is not about them, but it's all about God. When God reveals himself to you, you know that you are serving an awesome God. He will surprise you every time and do things beyond anything that is human. If the world really knew this, more would follow after him. But since the world is about human fulfillment, they miss God. I was praying one night, feeling very overwhelmed by what I was seeing happening in the world, and God spoke to me, "I'm not popular." God is not popular with the majority of people in the world. This includes people in the church too. Self-serving is what is destroying the world, and you can see that happening now. This has been true from the very beginning, because man is self-serving. The purpose of life is life with a purpose, and we were born for God. We did not create God, he created us. And when we are doing what is right in our own sight, seeking human fulfillment, we are going to miss the life that God has for us. Luke 9:23-24. And he said to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it." This is not a popular message, and speaking it will make you very unpopular. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world," John 8:26. Jesus also said, "If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first." If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you don't belong to the world. I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. If we focus on the world and what is happening in the world, we risk losing our first love. Revelations 2. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, "These are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people, and that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them to be false. You've persevered, you've endured hardships for my name, and have not grown weary. Yet I hold this one thing against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come and remove your lampstand from its place." Whosoever has ears, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. That which is lowly and seems insignificant, the Lord is going to exalt. It takes humility to walk with God. If we allow our selfish nature to dominate our life, God is going to resist us. If we humble ourselves, God is going to exalt us. Do not be surprised that people who are amassing great wealth and riches in the world do not see God. God is resisting them. There's no creativity in the world. Governments and economies are collapsing because God is resisting the world and the rebellion that is in the world because of human fulfillment. People are scared, asking, "What's going to happen to me and my family?" God has a purpose for the earth, and it is to be filled with creativity, love, joy, and peace. He will give his kingdom to the poor in spirit. They're poor in spirit because they're giving away what God has been giving them. Matthew 19 is where, that's the story about the rich man. Okay, and he's going to the Lord, and he's asking the Lord, what should he do to have eternal life? Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give them to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. God is not against rich people. Look at the verse and see the meaning of what God is saying to the rich. He's saying, forget about yourself. Let go of what you have and come and follow me. So we don't hang on to anything that God gives us. We give it away. God has been putting up with man's selfishness since the beginning of time. Look at how many times we, his own people, have abandoned him. Look at what Jesus suffered for us so that we could have a chance at life with God. Look at all the ways that God has loved us. He would like to gather all of us close to him. Like a hen gathers her chicks, but many, many are not willing. Matthew 23:37. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those who sent you, how often I have longed to gather you together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Through the word, we see that God's message is not popular in the world. There is a day of judgment when God will no longer put up with man's abominations. People want to hear about heaven, but not about hell. I don't hear many people preaching about that these days. History repeats itself. Human fulfillment is what is killing creation and taking our children. Human fulfillment is what is killing creation and taking our children. Matthew 7:13. You can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad and the gate is wide for the many who are choosing it. There was a popular song made in 1979 by AC/DC. It was called the song was titled Highway to Hell. It's about living easy, living free, season ticket on a one-way ride, asking nothing, leave me be, taking everything in my stride. Don't need reason, don't need rhyme, ain't nothing I would rather do. Going down, party time, my friends are going there too. I'm on the highway to hell. No stop signs, speed limit, nobody's gonna slow me down. Like a wheel, gonna spin it, nobody's gonna mess me round. Hey Satan, paying my dues, playing in a rockin' band. Hey mama, look at me, I'm on the way to the promised land. I'm on the highway to hell, don't stop me. And I'm going down, all the way down, I'm on the highway to hell. It's been written that Highway to Hell was the nickname for the Canning Highway in Australia. It runs from where the lead singer, Bon Scott, lived in Fremantle and ends at a pub called the Raffles, which was a big rock and roll drinking hole in the 1970s. As Canning Highway gets close to the pub, it dips down into a steep decline. No stop signs, no speed limits. Nobody's going to slow me down. That song made millions of dollars. 7 million copies were sold. The lead singer died in 1980 from excessive drinking. It's not that the drinking alone took the life of this man that bothers me so much as the words to the song, which is basically just doing whatever you want, whatever pleases you, without any conscience of the consequences. According to an article posted in the Christian Post in January of 2006, it's titled U.S., in case you want to look it up, titled U.S. Church Leaders, Youth Ministers Address Christian Youth Fallout. A significant majority of our church's youth are leaving the foundations of their faith when they transition from high school. Researchers found between 64 to 94% of Christian youths forsake their faith after leaving high school. Student after student broke down and cried about the scars they carried with them from falling into deep sins in wanting to make friends and fit in. This generation is abandoned. They are often without anyone at home with them. They are biblically illiterate, without a deep understanding of the Bible, and are unable to articulate their faith in their own words and understand it in their own context. Rather than having our children wanting to fit in and be popular or subjected to popularity contests, let's teach them about the ways of the Lord. Jesus did not fit in. He was not popular. He was not part of the in crowd. Popularity, who needs it? Jesus did not care about being popular. When I asked my 12-year-old granddaughter what she felt like when she didn't win the popularity contest in school, she said it made her feel like she had to imitate the winner. And then she felt like she couldn't be herself. Let's pray and seek the Lord for our children. Let's pray with them. Let's get a revelation from God of who that child is. And then let's just take our faith and just create it. We don't need to try to be like someone else or try to emulate other people. You know, this goes for the church too. We have to stop comparing ourselves to one another. Amen. God has blessed each of us in a very unique way. Amen. I mean, how would you like at Christmas time to get 12, I don't know, mixers? It'd be very, very boring, you know, if everybody was the same. Okay. God is blessing you because he has a very unique place for you. Don't be imitators of anyone else. Be imitators. If you want to be imitators of Christ, be imitators of Paul. You know, we have celebrities in Hollywood, now we have them in the church too. Sorry, but it's true. 1 Corinthians 4:16. This is Paul speaking. Therefore, I urge you to imitate me. Philippians 3:17. Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. 1 Thessalonians 1:16. You became imitators of us and of the Lord in spite of severe suffering. You welcomed the message with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to wrap this up with some verses in John chapter 6. Yay! Confirmation! Jesus was popular as long as he was feeding the people and giving them what they wanted. They loved getting their needs met and thought, we should just make him our king. And then he'll always be giving us what we want. Jesus feeds 5,000 people in one day, but at the end of the day, when all had been fed, he speaks to the multitudes about feeding on him and having communion, and all of them left. Keep in mind, for all those who seem to hate rich people because of their wealth and the fact they don't want to give any of it up, this was a crowd of 5,000. Okay, they were poor. They were stinky from having traveled such a long distance. They were hungry. They were not the elite or the in crowd. Okay, there were a lot of poor people. They wanted food, but they all left. As soon as Jesus fed them and then he starts talking to them about what's important, they all leave. John chapter 6, verse 27. Do not work for the food that spoils, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Then they asked him, what must we do to do the works God requires? Jesus answered, the work of God is this, believe in the one he has sent. So they asked him, what sign will you give that we may see it and believe it? Are you kidding me? What sign? He just fed 5,000 people. Okay, everybody wants signs, miracles, wonders. But that does not give you a relationship with God. You just want more. What are we going to learn? No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I raise them up on the last day. It is written in the prophets. They will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard the Father and learned from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. Very truly I say to you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, but they died. But here is the bread that comes from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I'm the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. On hearing it, many of his disciples said, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? From this time, many of the disciples turned back and no longer followed him. Jesus looks at them and says, are you going to leave me too? And Peter says, is it Peter? Yeah. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. Father, we're done with popularity and doing what is acceptable in the world. We are not holding back. We are not going to play it safe. We are going to take up our cross daily. We're going to die to human fulfillment so that we can really have communion with you and have the life that you intended for us to have. Amen.